forever, mother.
Forever, mother.
Live forever, mother.
Live forever, mother.
Jesus will be there.
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 Oh, Jesus will be there.
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 Such a beautiful song, and we join with the rest of the world in giving honor to our mothers. And especially if you have a godly mother that teaches you to fear God, that is guiding you the way of right, then you ought to thank God all the days of your life. You really thank God for godly mothers here. We thank God for His Word. The Word says that we ought to honor our mothers and our fathers. We got to honor our parents. And you know, when you hear those songs, you can't help but go back to your own mother and think of the influence her life has been upon your own life. And I think a mother stands in a very, very important role she has to play in the development of a child, especially in those tender years. Most of the time, she's the one that is closest to the children. She has more time. And she can really influence a child. And something about a mother's love that even the scripture talk about, that goes even beyond that of a father. Really thank God for our mothers, and especially our believing mothers here. May God bless you richly. We really enjoy the beautiful song service here this evening with a lovely presence of God. As a man of God always say, we would not trade this presence of God for nothing else in this life. And we will not allow anything, anybody, to do anything to drive away this Spirit of God, this presence of God from our midst. And we stand behind our shepherd 100%. So while we are standing into our Bibles, to Hebrews 11 chapter, I just want to read over that scripture that the man of God read last Sunday. Let's read chapter 1 to 3 and drop down to verse 32. Hebrews 11, very familiar scripture. I'll read verse 6 also. So 1 to 3 and then verse 6. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. 6 verse said, but without faith it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, in other words, that He is God. In other words, that He is alive, that He is present, that He is living. He not was, He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. 32nd verse. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And this is the phrase that really caught my attention. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His words, and you may be seated. So we welcome all within our gates here this evening. It is a beautiful thing to be in the house of God. And what makes this place at Bethel beautiful is the beautiful presence of God. And we also want to welcome and to greet our brethren from abroad who may be tuned in this evening to this service. May God bless you. And we want to say how much we appreciate you. Appreciate your support for this ministry, your confidence in this ministry, and the sacrifices that you are making to follow the word of God as we march on to our land of promise, to another return of Pentecost. We are on a journey. We have a goal. And our goal is Pentecost. We're not going to settle down for nothing less than what they had on the day of Pentecost, as is recorded in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. As a matter of fact, we want something more than they had. Because we want to leave this earth alive. We want to be changed. We want to leave this earth. We want something a little more than the apostles had. And God promises us. But on this journey, as it was in Israel, Israel was on a journey to their natural promised land, Canaan. And we are on a journey to our spiritual promised land, the outpouring. And as on this journey, as it was with Israel under Moses from time to time, you know, certain ones manifested unbelief. And all kinds of spirits were manifested under Moses. Spirit of worldliness, spirit of wanting to go back into Egypt instead of pressing on to the promise. But the true church of God will continue to march on in spite of who don't want to go. And this outpouring remains our main reason and purpose for living. Because everything else that we gain in this life is nothing more than vanity and vexation of spirit. We enjoy it for a little bit, but it does not endure very long. And many a time these blessings turn out to be trials after a time, as we have heard. So, we have decided that we are going forward. We have decided to follow Jesus all the way. Who want to go back, that's up to them. We are about our Father's business. Now recently, the man of God preached a message on believers under trial, beware. Brethren, and sometimes you don't understand what is he talking about. But if you understand that you are following a shepherd that is led by God, and he finds inspiration from God, then every message that comes, you've got to start searching and check. Because he has proven himself to be right on target every time, for all the time that we have followed him. And then he preached another message last week, Christian courage. And so this evening I just want to try to follow in the same line and take a little subject out of the verse 34 from Hebrews 11. You know, when he was reading that scripture the last time, this thing just, you know, stand out to me and remain with me. And that is, out of weakness were made strong. And that is the title of my little message this evening. And you know, I was reminded of a message that was preached by God's prophet William Branham back in 1961, on perfect strength by perfect weakness. And later on, Lord willing, I want to read some quotation from that message, which I believe, you know, will edify our hearts. Excuse me. Now this phrase, out of weakness were made strong, is a paradox. And children, a paradox is a statement that seems to contradict itself, but yet it is true. Because when you talk about weakness, you don't expect that what will follow weakness will be victory or strength. You expect when somebody gets weak, they fall down, they give up, they lose heart. And so, this is a very paradoxical statement. Out of weakness were made strong. And where that, what brought about that change? You realize right there, out of weakness were made strong speaks of a change. In other words, these people were going down at one time, and something caused them to make an upward turn. Out of weakness they were made strong. And so the scripture in there was speaking of very many examples of the heroes of the faith, you know, showing the, and I don't have the time, you know the examples, every one of them, showing the life of these believers, that when they came to the point of human weakness, when they came to the point where they was almost given up, something happened in that moment that changed their lives, that followed, that changed the whole story. That instead of surrender and defeat, it read out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made valiant. Wax valiant, the Bible said. In other words, something happened that get them courageous, get them strong. Something changed them. An inspiration struck them. Brethren, you can't get strong just like that. It takes a certain anointing to come upon you. It takes a certain inspiration to hit you. And that happened and it changed the whole fight altogether. When they were losing heart, all of a sudden courage rise up. Determination and stamina, valiance, everything just rise up out of them. And the Bible said, wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the alien. A complete turnaround of the battle. Something happened at that point of extreme human weakness that changed everything. And my message tonight is that, brethren, I'm trying to tell you, that can also be your testimony. God wants to do that for every one of us. Because it was God that done that for all these believers. And He's citing all of that to give you and I courage to put faith in our heart that what God done for them, He can do for you also. And remember that the emphasis or the theme of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is Paul was speaking on faith. Faith in God. And this was faith in God in spite of the circumstances. Brethren, all of us, when things going good, could say we believe God, we believe this word, we believe this revelation. But when the trial come, when the circumstances come against you, then it'll tell what you really have. Then it will really have whether you have true faith in God or you just have a mental something. And so the purpose of this lesson in the book of Hebrews for us, all of us Christians, and for the Christian of all ages that follow, to take their example. To take the example of these heroes of the faith. When their lives reach to the lowest valley during trials of distress. When all our efforts are exhausted. And even when no human help is in sight, there yet remains an unfailing source of victory in every circumstance. And that unfailing source of victory is God. Our God. Our Heavenly Father. Your God. And that's why you have to know Him as your God. The Bible said, God is our ever-present help in the time of need. In the time of trouble, He is there. And the only way to access this sort of power, source of power and strength in the time of weakness is through faith in God. And you know something, looking at some of the examples that Paul mentioned there, that some had strong faith. Just to name a couple. Abraham, he was a hero of the faith. He was a father of the faith. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. But you know, I like to also look at Sarah. Brethren, her faith was not strong like Abraham's. She went for a long time in doubt. She went for a long time in weakness. But the important thing, brethren, is that there came a time after a while that the Bible said Sarah, through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. And it tells me that what the Lord is looking for in you and I, brethren, in all of His people, is to use that little faith, whatever measure that you have. You may not have faith like the prophet. You may not have faith like Abraham. You may not have faith like your pastor, like your brother, like your husband, like your wife. But use whatever measure of faith that you have. Exercise that in the promise of God for you to meet your need. And anytime you exercise that faith in the promise of God, God, it will bring God on the scene. I hope you understand. Brethren, the thing is this. You know what I remember and I think about? In the days of the prophet, even in the scriptures, there were unbelievers, there were people from all kinds, that they came before the prophet with some terrible diseases, cancer, dead face in them. And you know, when their hearts were discerned, brethren, you know, faith rise up to the place that it defied death, that it believed God, that it took God at His word. But you and I have heard the word of God. Now that is not the true way to have faith. Faith doesn't come by a sign. Faith comes by hearing the Bible. So that's a substitute. And God has provided something greater for you and I. He has given us the pure word of God. He has given us the true word of God. He has given us the greatest revelation to hear. You can't sit down and hear this word of God and really take it in without not producing faith in your heart.
You cannot sit and hear this word of God, brethren, and really, really give your heart to it and attempt to believe it and say, yes, such a thought, yes, I believe it, without it doing something for you. You see, whenever you allow, give room in your heart for that word, it takes something, takes place in your heart. Something happens. So my advice, my admonition, brethren, is whatever you need is exercise whatever measure of faith that you have. And it will bring God in the scene. And when He comes in the scene, your weakness also will be made strong. We have to strive to reach out to God with whatsoever measure of faith that we have. You say, all I have is just mental faith. Then reach out with that mental faith. The prophet of God said the right mental attitude to any divine promise of God will bring it to pass in your life. Just the right attitude. God says so, I believe it. Well, you ask no questions. You never hear very much, but you just have the right attitude. That is God. He says so, I believe it. It will come to pass. Right attitude, you believe He is God. That's what the Bible says. When you come to God, you must first believe that He is. What does God mean to you? He has all the power in His hand. He can do anything. He is God. He can change your situation in a moment. One word from Him and everything changes. Death goes, changes to life. Your problem vanishes away. Your sickness turns to health. That's the God that we are serving. And He comes and proves that He is with us with His presence every day. Then we ought to be able to reach out to Him better than anybody else upon the face of the earth. He's a God that hears our prayer. He's a God that sees your condition. Brethren, this God you're talking about is not way off somewhere, and He only could see some people, and some of us, the devil like to make you think, well, I'm too insignificant. Brethren, nobody is insignificant with God. Everyone that come here, God knows when you came. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows your condition. Otherwise, He's not God. But He is. Think about it. He's able to. He understands your situation. If nobody understands, He understands. Approach Him that way. And that He has the power and He is able to deliver you. Not only that, but He's willing to do it. He's more than willing to do it. He died to prove it. He sent Jesus Christ on the cross. He took the form of human flesh in a man called Jesus Christ and went to Calvary to prove His love for you. To prove that He wanted to save you. He went to the uttermost to do it. And to prove that it wasn't just history, He sent His prophet in our age. To demonstrate that He is saved God. That He is still alive. So we've got to believe God keep all His promises. And I've got to keep confessing it. Do you know how many times where we drop, where we fail, brethren? Is we stop confessing the promises of God. And many a time when the feeling come along, the pain come, right there you stop confessing I am healed. Right there you start to entertain the doubts and the fears and the wonders. And I wonder if you already get healed. No, keep confessing it anyhow. He is the high priest of our confession. It depends on what you are confessing, the high priest will go to work on that. And you keep on confessing that you're healed regardless of the symptoms, your healing will be manifested. Whatever you have need of in your life, keep on believing God and confessing it. And brethren, for all that we have heard, some people confess the negative too much. And it's time we get away from opening our mouth and confessing the negative. God has called us to believe His word. Why believe the devil, brethren? You know when you confess the negative, you believe in the devil? You say, I can't believe God. Let me tell you something. You're either going to believe God or you're going to believe the devil. That's the choice that you have, you know. When you doubt God, you believe the devil. You believe His lie. Now, any day, I'd rather believe God than the devil any time. The important thing is to keep confessing that. You believe that He can do it for you. And not just He can do it for this one, He can do it for that one, He can do it for you. You got to take it personal. Salvation is personal. Everything God purchased for you is personal. You come to that place in your life where you see everything fail, my abilities fail, all the doctors fail, that one fail, then look to God. You got to tell Him, Lord, I'm looking to You. I'm coming to You. I'm expecting You. I believe You. Amen. Brethren, I believe that the preaching of Abraham helped Sarah in that time. Abraham's faith helped Sarah. Because they are going on this journey together. And Abraham can reap one star again, staggering, not the Bible said, the promise of God. And I believe he was preaching that promise down the road. He was keeping confessing the expected Isaac. He is expecting the son to come through her. And keep on hearing that word until something happened one day. And that's why it's so important to keep on under the inspiration of hearing the right preacher. You must sit under a preacher that is declaring the positive promises of God's word. That's why you are sitting here, a preacher that is declaring the promise for our day. That is so very important to hear the right preacher, brethren. And she was by that hearing that she was able to look away from a natural. Brethren, that was not an easy thing, you know. You're getting old and springy and come to a place where you know it is physically impossible. That's what they came to. But Abraham came to the same place and she also. But he keep on confessing. Because he was looking away from the deadness of Sarah's body. He was looking away from himself. And that is what he inspired Sarah by his preaching to do. By his life, by his example to do. Until she started to do the same thing. And look away to God. The God that made the promise. He is able to do it. How he's going to do it is none of my business. He promised it. He will keep it. Through faith, Sarah also receives strength to conceive seed, brethren. That is why it's so important to sit under the right preacher, we're saying. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing a sent preacher. Hearing a man of God preach the word of promise for your day. Now I don't have time to dwell on this, brethren, but God has promised you and I a greater faith than the faith of the Old Testament saints. A faith that is far greater, far superior than what they had. You know what's the faith that God is offering you and I? The very faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a substitute faith, not an Old Testament faith, but a supernatural faith. The very faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith of Jesus Christ produces His life in you. The faith of Jesus Christ will bring you back from the grave if you fall down. That is what He's offering you by this word of God. Faith. So when you come to hear the word of God, brethren, faith coming by hearing. Hearing means continually hearing. Not just hear yesterday and stop. That's why you got to come every time and keep on hearing, children. It's important to hear the word of God preach. That's how you get faith. Give your ear to the word of God. When you hear the word of God, it lifts you up in the realm of the spirit. It lifts you up in the positive realm. It lifts you up from the depression. Did anyone want to keep you home and say, well, I feel too discouraged? No, that's the devil talking to you. No, come and let's come here and keep our mind upon the word of God. Or the devil loves to keep us focused on our faults and our weaknesses and our failures. But brethren, you've got to look beyond our faults. And if you don't want to look beyond your faults, God will bring you to a place where you have to look beyond. Brethren, God loves us so much. And the thing is, and if you, brethren, wanted to run around from it, and you know you have this weakness in your life, one day He'll bring it face to face with you. Brethren, the thing is, we have come to a place where God is not going to allow you and I to settle down for just a church membership. Or just settle down to say you believe you're a member of Bethel and you believe this word of God. God has called you and I to bring you to give you that new birth. And He's going to bring you to that place where if you are not serious enough, He's going to cause you to come to that place where you've got to get serious. He's going to cause you to come to that place where your faults and your failures will stare you in the face. He'll bring you right there and have to face it. You have to make a choice that time. When that happens, it's God trying to help you. It's God that's bringing you to that place. And He used Satan to do it, you know. And He used your weaknesses to you, not, you know. Because that is what He used. Your weaknesses and your failures that you failed to purge out in your life. That is what He uses, brethren, in order to bring you to that place. Or bring you down in the valley. When you have to look at yourself in the mirror as you really are. There is something about us, brethren. You don't like to really see ourselves for what we are. We always think that we are better than what we really are. That's human nature. But God wants us to get honest with ourselves. And if you are not honest enough, God has what it takes to bring you where you face yourself just as you are. Oh, brethren, he uses Satan to do it. And Satan has his snares and his traps. And he knows from experience what God wants to do for you, you know, brethren. He knows that any time in the history you look back and see God's people get in that place, God somehow come and snatch them out. And so what the devil uses is when you get into that place where you fall by sin, where you fall by a snare, where you fall by a trap, where you do wrong, he comes right away to try to lie to you. Right? And then he moves the demon power to discourage you. And he moves it. No, first the devil sends demon power to provoke you to do wrong. And unless you're up in the spirit, you're going to fall. Brethren, that's what many times we don't realize. God sent forth his word. He sent forth his anointing. He sent forth his spirit. And he's trying to build you up in the spirit. And if you don't take the building up, there comes a time when the trial will come. When the testing will come. We lose the devil upon you. Demon power comes out to provoke you to sin. Unless you have something to keep you from sin, you're going to fall. And that's the situation with many people, brethren. Even in our midst, brethren. And that's why sometimes you wonder what is happening to the young people. Demon power is allowed to come around to try you, to see what you're really after. To test your sincerity. To see if you really mean eternal life. To see if you really mean God. Because somebody is riding along, you know. Instead, at this time, they want some vision in the world. Something they want first before the eternal life. But God is not going to allow this thing to happen like that in your life, brethren. No, you will mean God. We'll have to mean God today, brethren. We don't have years and years and years and decades to come yet, brethren. Excuse me. Demon power comes. You want to know what happened to you. And when you get down in that hole, and all of a sudden, right around you is pressure, demonic oppression, problems on every side. You can't think right. Mind battles, problems everywhere. And the devil is always saying, you better, you know, everybody knows about you. So you may as well give up, you know. And that's the time he don't want you to come near the minister. Because anytime, that's the time you want you to run away from the man of God. Because your conviction, the devil tells you, because the devil knows, you know what caused you to run from the man of God? Sin. And the devil don't want to be exposed. The devil don't want to leave you. He wants to get more time to rub you in the rose in the ground and to control your life. That's why when you do wrong, he makes you run away. Run away. Run away from whoever is trying to influence your right. You don't want to see the brethren. You don't want to see that one. Or that's the devil. And right, see, once he gets you in a corner, he's going to let you show you all your failures. Brethren, serving the devil is not an easy thing, you know, brethren. He is going to grind your nose. The little bit of pleasure he gives you, he's going to grind you so much for it. He's going to use you like a mule. He's going to ride you like a donkey. He's going to take advantage of you morning, noon, and night. You'll be no use to yourself. You become a slave to him. Once he gets you in that valley, once you get you where your weakness is exposed, now he tries to use that to disqualify you as a child of God. He tries to tell you, God is fed up with you. You know, the devil tells many people that? God fed up with you. But he's a liar. He comes there now and he's using all the evidence and to show you that you are a sinner. Makes no sense going to church. He tells you that you are lost. He tells you I have no hope. But I want to tell you, even in that situation, tell the devil he's a liar. Because any time you come to the house of God to hear the word of God preach, hope is always offered, brethren. In spite of your situation, hope is offered. Oh, brethren, this ministry. Brethren, it seeks to do two things. Breaks the hard heart of sin and to offer hope to the hopeless. That's what any true minister done. Preach the word of God to break the hard heart of sin and to show hope to the hopeless. To show hope to those in despair. That's our Lord Jesus. He died to save sinners. That's what the word of God. You must first recognize that you are a sinner. And oftentimes, especially when we are born in the house of God, grow up in the house of God, we don't realize we are a sinner the way that we ought to. And oftentimes, the Lord allows certain things to happen to make you realize, I am a sinner. And if I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. And sometimes you have to pass through those experiences for you to cry out, Lord, save me. You've got to see yourself sinking before you cry out, Lord, save me. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. If the devil tell you you're lost, yeah, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save me then. In that valley of failure, in that valley of despair, oh, it brings you into a place of decision. Many times you don't realize it. But when you go down in the hole, brethren, it brings you to a place of decision. Because the devil is right there, is a pressure point in your life. It's either make or break. It's either you make, and it's all depending on that decision you make under pressure. That decision you make down in that valley. And as I was saying before, you can either choose to believe God or believe the devil in that time. It's a pressure pot. You come to a place, mind battle. And I'm thinking of Jonah, brethren. My mind go back to, let me read this a little bit here. Just for, I won't be long. But to give you an idea, brethren, you know, this came to my mind and I thought, well, let's read it. Jonah was a servant of God. And God gave him a commandment to do. He gave him a commission. He disobeyed God. He gone in the other direction, like so many of us. And when that happened, he finds himself in trouble, and he got other people in trouble because of him. And you know, he looked for the easy way out. When we get ourselves in trouble, the devil say, kill yourself. You know, escape it one time. Jonah said, throw me out. I am the trouble, throw me out. In other words, let this thing done, yes, I don't want to do this. Brethren, all upon that time, his mind was still made up not to go where God sent him, you know, brethren. And he said, throw me out. In other words, I've finished it, done the whole story. God will get somebody else. Oh, yes. They pick him up and they throw him overboard. And when he throw him overboard, it's because God already had. You see, you can't do nothing that God don't know ahead of time what you're going to do. And that's what I love about this God that we serve. He know the trial is going to come your way. And he know what you're going to do when that trial come. And he know what to do to bring you back. He have everything prepared. You're a child of God. He know exactly what to do to bring you back. He had this fish. Didn't he go on a way? Fish ready for him. This special, even he was such a special man. And he was a special child of God. He have a special fish ready for Jonah. And God have a special circumstance ready to bring you back. Special transport to bring you back. Oh, you're talking about God. If God determined and God called you for a purpose, he will be fulfilled regardless of what you try. And he'll bring you back to a place where you have to make the decision. You're going to work with your decision. When you came in the pool and you make a decision to serve him all the days of your life, you're going to work with it. The day you turn deceitful, brethren, you're going to still continue to work with that decision. And it will give you another chance to either reconfirm it or not reconfirm it. And it may give you more than one chance too. That's the God we serve. He finds himself in a whale's belly. And then Jonah prayed into the God. Sorry, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. The Bible said he was down there 3 days and 3 nights. I believe he had plenty time to think. He didn't have nobody else to talk to. He like he was in a jail. And that's how many times when you disobey the word of God, you find yourself enclosed like in that. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly. of hell, cried I. That brings out what he experienced on. It was like hell down there. And when you break the word of God and you go outside in Satan's domain, it comes like you go down to hell, Reverend. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Brethren, I have to admire this man, you know. And this speaks of every child of God, you know. We get in a circumstance, something going to cause us to look again, look back to God. Look into the holy temple. That is where the Shekinah glory, that is where the ark was, that is where God, where presence of God was at. In other words, it caused him to look back to God. That's all he was saying, you know, it caused him to look to God. Because he couldn't tell no direction, he couldn't know where that was. But his heart was looking back to God. The waters come past me, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weasel wrapped about my head. What a mess. When you do wrong, you get yourself in such an entangle that it only takes the grace of God to untangle in some of them knots. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, to the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And that's what you got to do. When you get down in that valley, remember God. And my prayer came in unto thee in thine holy temple. And he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What was he calling lying vanities? All the obstacles around him. All the reasons why he should not contact God. Remember, he had disobeyed God. So the devil was telling him, don't think the devil wasn't there, you know, brethren. The same way that he is sprung in your mind when you do wrong and you find yourself in trouble, the same way he had to contend with that. He called it lying vanities. The devil was showing him all of those things, all of his wrong, disobedience, everything else. Lying vanities, he was in a cell, he was in a jail. But hear what he says. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Brethren, I believe the Lord kept him there, into that fish belly, until that time when he renewed his vow. When he renewed his commitment, I am going to do what you say, Lord. Oh, the man of God was talking about last night. It means so much. That is what the Lord wants you to do. What caused you to break the word of God? What caused you to get in trouble? Is when you follow your will instead of following the word of God. And you've got to come back to the place where you renew your vow, where you renew your commitment to God. It is only after he done that. Look at the scripture that I will sacrifice unto you the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. It is only after that Jonah had come to that place, and not only acknowledged his wrong, and expressed faith in God, is after he renewed his vow with God, and renewed his commitment, then God spake unto the fish. Then his deliverance came. Then he came back at the dry land. Now that tells me something, brethren. It tells me, brethren, that when you get yourself into trouble, and you get yourself in sin, and you're enclosed in the jaws of sin, and all around you see no hope, renew your commitment. Renew your vows. Repent for your wrong. Look to God in faith, believing, and renew your commitment. And God is going to speak to the fish. And that is the problem. Remember, all the sin and all the enticements and all the wrong, brethren, have one thing, is to turn you away from your first commitment. The devil is continually trying and testing to see if he can move you off that path that you set for your life. And anytime you veer off into sin, right there you breach that vow. Right there you breach that commitment. And the only way to get back is you have to renew it. Repent for your wrong, recommit yourself, and God, you'll get back on track. That's the only thing to get back on track, brethren. That's the only thing to bring you back on course. You've got to do it. And you've got to mean it from your heart too. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for one another. It's an individual affair. It's an individual something that you got to do with God. Oh, brethren, so the thing is when you get yourself to that place in this life, down in the valley of despair, down in that hole, as I was saying before, you can either choose to believe the devil and give up following God, or you can choose to believe God and renew your vows and commitment. And brethren, every wrong that we do, there can be a punishment to follow. Some way, somehow or the other. Things God chooses what He's good to do. But I want to tell you something. In spite of that, throw yourself at His feet. We are always safer with God. We are always going to be safer with God, even when He is angry with us for all wrong. Oh, I hope you understand that. David numbered Israel. He got into trouble. But he was wise enough to understand, I will throw myself in your hand. Your hand has the best place. I'm wrong enough, but has the best place to find myself. And that's the kind of example, brethren. You find yourself wrong, don't run away from God. Don't run away from the man of God. Don't run away from the house of God. Come and throw yourself at God's feet. Surrender your whole life to Him. Put your trust in Him and He. Oh, brethren, everything you can muster. Come, if you have to drag yourself, come. Look up to Him and He will going to bring you. And anytime you can do that, brethren, just like it brought God in the scene for Jonah, it will bring God in the scene for you. Oh, brethren, right there, if that is what made a change in Jonah's life. Dung in that whale's belly, dung in the depths of the sea. That's what make that decision. That would make the change. And that is what, brethren, I want to tell you. Out of weakness will make strong. Dung inside it, that's the secret of it. When you find yourself in that place, look to God. Look away from your circumstances. Look away from your, acknowledge your wrong. Believe God. Because the thing is, if God don't help you, nobody else can. That you must come to the place and realize, God, this is my last resort, my only hope. I'm turning to You with everything that I have. And don't turn halfway with Him, no, you know. Don't come back and say, well, I'm going to give it a try again. That's the mistake. Some people just say, well, I will come back and give it a try. No, come back and give it your whole. When you are given a chance to repent and a chance to correct your life, put your all into it, brethren. Otherwise, you're going to slip out again. Out of weakness, you could be made strong. Think of the many areas in your life where strength and weaknesses can be manifested. And you can get an idea of how many times you can find yourself on a hill sometimes, on a valley another time. But brethren, God has one purpose in bringing you and I to a valley experience. And that is, out of weakness, you could be made strong. In other words, you have to get weak first before you can experience His strength. Now, weakness is not a nice thing, you know. Nobody likes to feel weak. Weakness is really is a very uncomfortable, uncertain period. It's really not a nice thing, even physically. But God is saying, you have to come and experience weakness first before you can experience my strength. You got to come to the place where you acknowledge and come to terms with your weakness first before I can give you and lend you my strength. You have to get weak before you can get strong. And the purpose of God is for us to stop relying upon ourselves and upon our strength and upon our ability. And by these trials of Christian experience, He brings us to the place where we don't trust our ability. But we learn to trust and rely on God always. Amen. Brethren, as you go along this Christian life, you see, you realize you can't trust your own self sometimes. You have to learn to trust God. I'll quote the prophet, perfect strength in perfect weakness. Page 18. Out of weakness was made strong. They had to get weak before they could get strong. Out of their weakness they were made strong. And you refer to the scripture, here's something to console us. Here's something that encourages. Out of weakness and humility, God chooses the people to build His kingdom out of. If we ever get to heaven, if we ever stand in the presence of God with His church, We will stand in a bunch of people that have been weak and rejected and cast out by the world and know it nothings. So when you begin to uncode, when you begin to feel that way, then you're good material for God to use. It's the right kind of a material God is looking for to use. Quote again. Isn't it strange that God likened us to sheep? A sheep is the most helpless thing there is. There's nothing so insufficient of defense than the sheep. A rabbit can run. A squirrel can get in a tree. A dog can bite. A lion can tear. A horse can kick. A bird can fly. But a sheep stands helpless. And that's the way God wants us. Realize that we are totally insufficient. Then God takes that person and begins to mold himself into that person. Make his hands do what God will have his hands to do. Make his lips speak what God's lips would speak. Because they are not his, they are God's. He begins to build a character. He begins to take this weakness to make his own self. Unquote. And here is one. The case with us. Not that we are too weak. The case is we are too strong. We are just too strong. That's all. The thing of it is we are too strong-headed. That's right. We are too strong in our head. We know too much. God wants to get that out of us. That's right. We are too strong. We are too strong to yield to Him. We yield to ourselves. We got to think. Well, now, you know, I have sense enough to know. Unquote. In other words, the prophet of God, brethren, was saying, you know, many times, you know, we keep saying we are too weak. But the trouble is here, many times instead, the problem God is finding that we are too strong. And we are too strong in our head. That we are not trying, that's why we don't come to a total surrender. That is what is bringing us, keeping us from coming to a total surrender. We have our own ideas, our own opinions, our own likes, our own dislikes that we want first. We are too strong-headed. And that's why our weaknesses remain. That's why the weaknesses remain in our lives that we can't overcome. Brethren, many of the weaknesses that we have are tied up to our own selfish desires. Our own self-will, our own self-opinion, our own thing that we want, some item in the world. Desires are connected there, and we don't want to give that up. The prophet of God said we have to surrender that to God. We got to yield that to God. We are too strong in our head. We are too strong to yield our will to God. I hope we search our lives, brethren. I'm talking to people who understand. This is what happens to us. Page 25. Whenever you get licked and realize you are licked, and then come back and humble yourself, get weak, find out you're human. There's none of your intellectuals can do. Human weaknesses will never be used of God. God, by the human weakness, pours himself into you. Then he uses himself. You just become an instrument, certainly. You've got to get yourself out of the way. Moses, oh, he learned human weakness real good. He learned it so well, when God called him, he had all the weaknesses he could argue against God for. Unquote. So he's showing you what happened to Moses. Now, as you know, the prophet of God taught us that God took Moses from Pharaoh, from Egypt there, being the next Pharaoh, and then he had to beat out all of that he knew in the desert, and he come to a place when God tell him to go now, that he had all kinds of reasons why he does not qualify. Now, when God finish a job like you, I tell you, you really become to the place where you got to depend on God. And that is what, you know, we have to realize, brethren. God is working in you and I. And this is what he said concerning Moses. 40 years outside, I had you and Zipporah fussing and carrying around like there in the wilderness. Whether you could find out there's human weakness or not. Whether you're standing up in there as a big prince. Hello, Dr. Moses. Good morning, Reverend Sir. Yes, Sir Moses. You're a coming prince. We all think about you. No, you're out in the desert with a bunch of sheep and a high-tempered wife. See, that fixed him up. Yes, sir. Now I wonder sometimes.
Brethren, people wonder why they have the wife that they have. Maybe God working in you. Unquote. Maybe something there. Let's go on. Now you're out here in the desert with a bunch of sheep and a high-tempered wife. See, that fixed them up. Yes, sir, Moses is an awful sheep. And he said, now I can use you. When you realize you're nothing. Now come up here by this burning bush. I want to send you down yonder. Oh my, God, give us some more of that kind. God, give us some more weaklings. That's what we need, some weaklings. Sure, quote the prophet. And he went on to quote about Jacob. Jacob, you know, was a great guy once. You know, he could cheat and get by with anything. I wonder if you have some Jacobs around. You know, they rather trust in their ability to, you know, how to bend things to get their way. Anyhow, he went and put some poplar sticks in where his father-in-law's sheep and cattle, when they were pregnant, and turned them to speckled sheep and so forth. And the first thing you know, Jacob became a great man. He was really Jacob, no mistake, Esau said. He was a supplanter, all right. So he was a cheater. He was coming along fine, gaining great herds and wives and sheep and cattle and oxen and everything. But one night, oh my, when he got down to a little brook one time and was going to cross over, he came to a place. You see, brother, God knows. He came to a place that an angel got a hold of him. Brother, old Jacob held on all night. He sure did not hold on. He sure did hold on a long time. But when he surrendered himself, he got weak. And he couldn't hold on no longer. Oh God, let a church get like that. Let a church get to a place where it can't hold on any longer with its natural abilities. It has to give over to God. I quote again. It was then that Jacob became a prince with God. The Bible said he was a prince. His name was changed. And remember, he was a great strong man on this side, intellectually powerful, but on the other side, he was a limping prince. Weak and war-down. Weak and war-down. He walking different. You know, when you come in contact with God and you had that wrestle, you can't walk the same way again. You can't walk with your chest out and big, powerful strides. Something happened. He became a limping prince. But you know something? After the experience, he had power with God. And that is what God wants to do. After you come to that place where your weakness is manifested, and you get power with God. After every experience of the valley where you look up to God and you wrestle there, you're going to come out a stronger person. You're going to come out more victorious. So my point is, when we see weaknesses manifested in our lives, we have to stop and take notice. Because God is focusing upon that area in our life. I was saying before, many times we know we have certain things in our life hanging. But we're not just working in them the way we ought to. We go on by and by and by and by. But then the Lord, He wants this thing come up front. He focuses on that thing. And He allows that weakness to throw you down. He has a purpose to bring you to that place. And when that happens, that's not the time to make an excuse and say, well, I was just weak and I fall. No, brethren, see what God is doing in your life. I quote again, page 7. We try to make our weaknesses excuses. We want to tell how big we are, how great we are. I think that's one of the things God gave me the text for, was to get that out of our mind. There's little things that we do, and that's what we come to church for. Is to find, hear this, if you never know what's the reason you come to church for, unquote, listen to what the prophet of God said. And that's what we come to church for, is to find out where our faults is. And a thing that we might better ourselves by. If you come to church with any other objective than this, I'm afraid we won't get too much out of coming to church. We must come to find out our weakness and find our bad places. And see how little we are. And put our trust in somebody that is strong. There's so many of us like to testify and like to think that we are insufficient. And therefore we can make an excuse. I have no education, I have no ability, I'm unable to do this. But if you keep that up and do that in that way and keep going like that, you can't amount to anything. But the very thing that we make excuses by, that is our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. See, He waits for us to get to that condition. He waits for us to get to that condition so that He can use us.
We take the excuse and say, well, I can't do this, I'm insufficient, I can't do this. And God takes that very thing and do the job with it. That's true. That's the reason He chooses us. Because we are in that condition. Now that sounds strange. But just a few minutes, you get to read, God be willing, we find out that those people who are the weakest and the rejected by the outside world are God's heroes. The conqueror up in the front line is those, He takes those who feel themselves unworthy. So when you get in that place in your life and your trials and you get in that place, God brings you to the place that He wants you. Nothing is happening out of cater. God ain't gone somewhere off the scene. He ain't leave you all behind by yourself. No, He bring you right where He wants you. Notice it takes the weakest and the rejected, and practically every hero God ever had on the front line was that type of person. A person that was rejected, a person that thought he was insufficient, a person that had no ability at all. Then that person is just in good shape. So God can start using him. That's right. It's not when they feel like they haven't got anything. That's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. But when we are thinking that we are able to do it, then God can't use us because we are wanting to do it ourselves. And then on the other side, we get these feelings and we think that we are insufficient, we don't want to do it. But then if you listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into, that kind of a sheep, that so that He can use us. When we are insufficient in ourselves, then we are subject to yield to God's Spirit. Oh, I like that. When we find ourselves insufficient in ourselves, now we are subject to yield to God's Spirit. And as long as we think that we can do it, then we can't do it. When we get to a place where we know we can't do it, then yield ourselves to God, and He does it. So long as we are trying in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and so forth, we'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we are nothing, then God can use us. And this is something here that I always like never to forget. The important thing, one of the important things that we must master. Now remember this, and especially young preachers and lay members alike. There is one thing that we have got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to the spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. And make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to Him both soul, body and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and in me. Brethren, you know, I was talking about the valley. And the valley, our weaknesses. But you notice the prophet of God swing a little bit. And where, you know, everything going good in your life, and everything going wonderful, and you begin to have victory in your life, and you begin to climb the hill. Now there's another danger that awaits you. And that is, you begin to depend upon your experience and upon your ability, and you know how to do it. So there's another danger that he was warning us about. That we have to master the thought of human ability. You see, brethren, and that's another weakness, another weak area if you don't watch it. Because when you get up there, brethren, and the devil gets you thinking, well, I'm going good, I can take it easy now. That's when trouble starts. You start to go downhill real fast. We've got to master the thought of human ability. Brethren, that's when you begin to get blessing. You've got to be very careful. Be on your toes and acknowledge Him and realize, if God, you don't keep me and help me, I cannot make it. Oh, may God help us, brethren. On the hill is a wonderful place. But you see, the higher you go, is the harder you can fall. We can't afford to become complacent. We can't trust in ourselves. You've got to keep trusting God and walk softly before Him.
And here he says here,
I will never be until every person that professes to be a Christian will forget his own ability and heal himself to God. Then God can achieve his purpose, not a revival, but brother, what he needs to do first is send a killing. That's right, so we can revive. You have to die before you can be born again. He needs a killing of ourselves. This tabernacle needs a killing, and me with it. And all of us need a killing so that we can revive a new life, a new hope, a new hope, a new experience. First, we need a day of mourning. So the thing is this, that's something we've got to be licking our life always. As you go along and you begin to get some victory, watch. There's something begin to kick up in, and come up there. A little bit of overconfidence and trusting in yourselves. You've got to die out to that. And that's where you've got to need a killing. You've got to realize, I've got to work something out. I get a day of mourning. I've got to beg God, take it away from me. Revival don't come easy, brethren. You got to work. You got to take a labor. You got to fight. Like Elijah told Jehoshaphat and them, dig this place full of ditches. Deeper you dig, the more room you're going to have for water. And the more of our own ability, of our own selves, the own rubbish of our own abilities that we can throw out of us, the more room there will be to be filled by the Spirit of God. Long as we can do that. So this, you see, this is the other side of it, brethren. There's two sides, and there are two, and many a time we go from one to the other. But the thing is, this, that what he's pointing out, we've got to get rid of that own ability and own, that kind of relying on self. And our own experience and that kind of, instead of trusting in God. So I believe you get the picture. I'll just read this little one. You've got to keep yourself in the dust on the road to Damascus. You've got to keep yourself off your high horses. That's for everywhere, here and in the tape world. In other words, you're referring to Paul who had stripped himself, but you notice he continued to speak in that manner. What a Paul is a great example of a man who attained to greatest height with God. But brethren, he never get to his head. And he said, I come to you in fear and in weakness and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit. He never came relying upon himself. And that's what we've got to keep realize, brethren. We've got to watch this old man. We've got to watch him with two eyes. He said, the greatest enemy I have is William Branham. He's the one that gets in God's way. He's the one that gets lazy. He's the one that gets to the place sometime where he thinks he can do something about it. And when he does that, then God, that shoves God right out of the picture. But when I can get rid of that guy, when I can get up to a place that he is out of the way, then God can come over and do the thing that William Branham knows nothing about. That's the same thing about you and I. That's when God can use you. That he can use any of you. He can use anybody when we can get out of the way. As long as we get ourselves in the way, then we cannot. And here this last one. God took Paul and made a slave out of him, bound him to himself, and sent him to the Gentiles, which he had hated. I never knew that, brethren. But you see, he had to be loosed from his ecclesiastical power to be bound to the power of God. He had to lose his strength and become weak and nothing in order to receive the strength of God, to be bound to God, to do what God would tell him to do. And that's what we have to do today. That's what I need. That's what every man needs, is a loss of himself. Is a loss of his ability, loss of what he is that he might give, but have a complete yielding to the Holy Spirit. The housewife needs that, the schoolboy needs that, even our little children. Unquote. Brethren, as we're coming on to a close, that is what we need, is to yield ourselves to God. The secret of this Christian life is that we have to completely yield ourselves to God. We have to die out to ourselves and let God come and take over in our life. Brethren, that sounds easy sometimes, but you know, for you to yield to God and submit to God, it takes faith. You got to believe Him before you could give yourself to Him, you know. I come to realize, man trusts himself more than anybody else, you know. This, you check yourself. A man trusts his own self more than anybody else.
But his way of salvation is you will have to put your trust in somebody else. My. You will have to surrender your spirit to a shepherd. You have to surrender your heart to God. You have to surrender your will and your mind to Him. You have to surrender to be guided, otherwise you're not going to get it. And this old man, don't go down easy, brethren. When you think he dead, he living, more alive than you know. He fights you down as long, even after you get the outpouring, he continue to fight you, brethren. He still wants, he's fighting. As long as he's in this body, you'll fight. It's a battle. But we've got to keep on yielding ourselves and submitting ourselves to God. And the point is, it takes faith in God to do that. And remember that Paul came to a place of a need in his life. In 2 Corinthians, he said, and he prayed unto God. And God said unto him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brethren, if you want the power of God in your life, acknowledge your infirmity. Own up to it. Give it to God. Trust in God. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's not a strange thing. Infirmity is weakness. Infirmity is problems. Infirmity is... Nobody likes that kind of thing. But Paul is saying, I take pleasure in them. Why? Because it's in these infirmities I see the power of God manifested in my life. When I'm sick, He shows Himself a healer. When I'm in want, He's a provider. When I'm lost, He shows me the way. He appears and directs me the way. When I'm in trouble, He's my deliverer. When all men forsake me, He'll never leave me nor face it. I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Because it was only when you're in need, then you know Him as a provider. In persecution, then you know Him as your protector. In distress, you know He stands by your side. When the ship was falling apart, when the storm at sea, Paul was calm. Because he knew he was speaking by experience, you see. For in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. This is a paradox. It's only when you recognize how weak you are, then you can experience the strength of God. And in the same experience Paul had and others had, God wants you and I to have the same experience, brethren. God wants to speak for us to speak the same way from my own experience. Abraham. There's so many others. Abraham there, brethren, he also spoke of that similar life of faith that he lived. And just one little scripture I just want to quote and then I'll close. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And this is what I want to get at. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And brethren, that is the secret of it. And that is the reason of the preaching. That's the reason of the word of God. Is God is trying to bring us to that place where we become fully persuaded that a God that makes this promise is able to perform it. And that is why, brethren, he's sending us to the test. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why is it taking so long to come? Abraham had the same question he asked in his mind. No wonder, brethren. Back then, he had the same thing in his mind. 25 years he had to wait. But brethren, we have a greater promise today, and God has wanted us to wait longer, some many of us, for this promise of God. But we got to come to the place where we say, like Abraham, that we believe, if we are fully persuaded that He is able to fulfill that promise in our life. That in spite of my fault, in spite of what we see in the church of God, in spite of the failure that we see, in spite of the certain circumstances, brethren, we look around, trust in God, believing in God. Brethren, like Abraham of old, the ministry, brethren, looks out there at the church, Sarah, and knowing that God is able to fulfill what He promised in His church. And many a time you look around and as human being, the devil say, well, nothing can happen, no promise can happen. Uh-huh. You don't know who you're dealing with. God allows the condition to come to the place where it looks like it's black and all washed up, as the prophet of God said. And then He comes right in the scene and crowned with glory. He allowed Sarah to come to the place where it was totally impossible naturally. And then He comes. Careful, brethren. When you start looking around and doubts and fears begin to come, beware. Because that is when God is going to come on the scene and fulfill His word. And that is what God is testing you as an individual and you and I to see who we keeping our eyes on. Are you keeping your eyes upon yourself and your faults and your failures, or your neighbors, your brothers and sisters and their failures, or are you looking to the one that made the promise? You've got to keep your minds, and you've got to keep, brethren, and the only way you can become fully persuaded is by faith, by the hearing of the word of God. That we could tell the world and tell the devil, brethren, that we are fully persuaded that God had made this promise to us here in the end time, is more than able to keep it. Amen. He is more than able to give us the promise of pouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And not just, brethren, coming to the church, but what I'm saying here, you and I have to see it personally, brethren. Else what's the use? We've got to come to that place where you know it in your heart. Lord, I believe You are able to give me the promise. Lord, I come to the place I'm fully persuaded You are going to give me the outpouring. That's the effort, brethren. That's the purpose. And it can only come by faith in the Word of God. By hearing that Word of God. Preacher, let us all stand as we invite the musicians and the song leaders up. God wants... He has brought you, many of you, from time to time to the place of weakness for one purpose. You have got to come to a place of weakness before you become strong. Look away from the weakness. Look away from the valley. Look to God. He is the one who can speak to the fish. He can speak to the fish. He can speak to that circumstance that is bound in you. That circumstance that bound Jonah there in the whale's belly, brethren, God spoke to it after he made a recommitment to God. Raise a song, brother.
I will worship You with all of my heart. more mercy. God. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Amen. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, yes, Lord. Let us bow our heads. We want to remember service back here tomorrow and through to Wednesday. Let us come and pray and seek God. And let us bring our weaknesses before Him. Oh, yes, and let Him turn it. Let Him turn it into strength. Oh, He is able to do that for you. He is able to change defeat into victory. He is our God and He careth for us. Oh, He brought us here not to slay us, but He brought us to take us over into this land. Oh, yes. Our God is with us. He goes before us day by day. So you want to ask our brother Edward soon up front, please, brother, dismiss us in a word of prayer. Yes, Father. Yes, thank you very much, Lord. Yes. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Do all things through all through Christ who gave me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do to me. Through no great success to show. No glory of my own. I admit my weakness. Yes, yes, oh, let me know. His strength is perfect. When all my strength is gone. He'll carry on.
He'll carry on.
And we can carry on.
Carry
on. Oh, raise His power.
Raise His power.
The weak become strong. His strength is perfect.
His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
We can only know.
Only know
the power that you
but I'm here
when we truly see how deep our weakness goes.
How deep our weakness goes.
His strength in us
will be.
In us
we
when ours comes to an end.
I can do all things
through Christ who gives.
earthly friend. But sometimes I wonder, what he can do through
me.
No great success to share. No glory of my own. But in my weakness, strength in us we give when our us comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength is full. When all my strength is gone, my strength is gone, He'll carry us. He'll carry us. When we can carry on, we can carry on with His power.
His strength is fulfilled.